So tonight we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 6, Dhyana Yoga, text number 7. Since it's not on the board, I'll just read through it. Of course, you can try to repeat, why not? Jitatmana prashantashya, Jitatmana prashantashya, Paramatma Samahita, Paramatma Samahita, Sitoshna Sukha Dukeshu, Sitoshna Sukha Dukeshu, Tathamanapana. Not much good, the light isn't very good here. Tathamanapamanayo. Jita Atmana, of one who has conquered his mind. Prashantasya, one who has attained tranquility by such control over the mind. Parama Atma, the super soul. Samahita, approached completely. Sita, in cold. Ushna, heat. Sukha, happiness. Dukeshu, and distress. Tata, also. Mana, in honor. Apamanayo, and dishonor. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. For he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. Purport. Actually, every living entity is intended to abide by the dictation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. When the mind is misled by the external illusory energy, one becomes entangled in material activities. Therefore, as soon as one's mind is controlled through one of the yoga systems, one should be considered to have already reached the destination. One has to abide by superior dictation. When one's mind is fixed on the superior nature, he has no alternative but to follow the dictation of the Supreme. The mind must admit some superior dictation and follow it. The effect of controlling the mind is that one automatically follows the dictation of the Paramatma, or the Super Soul. Because this transcendental position is at once achieved to one who is in Krishna consciousness, the devotee of the Lord is unaffected by the dualities of material existence, namely distress and happiness, cold and heat, etc. This state is called practical samadhi, or absorption in the Supreme. Ama jnana timanandasya gananjana shalakya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Someone could raise an objection that the one who has conquered the mind, honor and dishonor are all the same, so why should it matter to Sankarshan Prabhu whether people have come to the class or not? Why should he really care one way or the other if his mind is actually controlled? See, one could argue like that, can find fault. He wanted that more people should come, so he's making a distinction between, people coming and not coming. Actually, a devotee of the Lord doesn't actually need, but for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness, there is need. It's not that to be a happy devotee has to have people coming to hear his clap. He doesn't require that. The devotee of the Lord is happy just by chanting Hare Krishna. That's all he really needs. But because of the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, that this Krishna conscious movement should be spread, that every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet should take up Krishna consciousness. For that reason, the devotee makes a distinction. That way, if, you know, he sees the difference between nobody showing up for class and a whole room full of people. He makes a distinction. Because that is to fulfill the Lord's purpose, that everyone will get the opportunity for going back to home, back to Godhead. So one should not misunderstand if sometimes a preacher or a spiritual master appears to be fruitive in their mentality, that they haven't really achieved the, you know, equanimity. It's not true. There's a number of verses here in chapter 6 about controlling the mind. This is a problem of neophyte devotees. Instead of controlling the mind, they become controlled by the mind. And the unbridled mind, it is stated, is the devil's workshop. Or, in Christian terms, in Vedic terms, we say it's Kali's workshop. Same thing. Personality of Kali. One's mind is not controlled, and Kali has a field day of that person's mind. He can do all kinds of things to make one, you know, act as his agent in so many ways. Even sometimes in ISKCON, that happens. The first person becomes Kali Chela, he becomes an instrument of the personality of Kali, because he hasn't learned how to control his mind. So this is a very important art. There's two types of person in existence. Two types of jivas. There are Goswamis and there are Godasas. One who actually controls the mind, he is called a Goswami. Doesn't necessarily mean he has to be in the sannyas order. He or she simply means that person has brought their mind under control. They keep it fixed in Krishna consciousness, no matter what's going on around them. They don't depend on the external situation to be Krishna conscious. They always keep their mind in Krishna consciousness, no matter what's happening around them. You see? That's the position of controlled mind. Goswami. If our mind is properly controlled, if we're always thinking Krishna conscious thoughts, in Vedic psychology we have four levels. There's thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. If the mind is fixed properly in Krishna consciousness, then one will have Krishna conscious feelings also. And then you only have Krishna conscious will also, and then one's activities, both on the vocal and physical level, will indeed be Krishna conscious. It all begins with the thoughts. If one allows one's mind to just go running here and there, you see, not according to the scripture, but according to the modes of nature, then one will have problems, even if they dress themselves as devoted. They will have so many problems. They'll find so many faults with people who are properly absorbed in Krishna consciousness and cause so much trouble. So this is a very important thing, that all devotees have to learn how to conquer their minds. It's a very, very important thing. Very important thing. So how will we establish that within our society? It's a simple formula. Those who are very serious about Krishna consciousness, they will indeed conquer their mind. That's a fact. Those who are serious, they will conquer their minds. And they will be their example will be an inspiration for everyone else who is serious. It's a very simple formula. Yad yad achrati shreshtas taptareve tarojana sayat pramanam krute lokastat anivartate. It's not some difficult formula. The formula is very simple. Every thought has to be analyzed because our mind is always thinking something. The Mayavadis, they say, well, we just make the mind blank. But do they ever do that? No. The best they can do is sit there and think, I have to make my mind blank, I have to make my mind blank, I have to make my mind blank. But actually, they can't even do that much. You see. The mind by nature is active. So therefore, we have to learn to discriminate. We have to be introspective. We have to see, is my mind thinking right now in a way that is Krishna conscious? As we were explaining the other day, if all the devotees, you know, if my mind can be projected on the screen, so all the devotees could see what I'm thinking about, would I have to hide in my closet? Or could I show my face in the temple without turning a million shades of red? You see? If every devotee in the whole movement could see every thought that I had in my brain. You see? So that's the level of pure thinking we have to develop. Such chastity of mind that every thought could be public information and we wouldn't be embarrassed. Every single thought that goes through our brain. You see? So that's the art we have to learn. That's the art we have to master. Mind control. Sometimes people say, oh, you Hare Krishna, you know, your minds are being controlled by some cult leader. You're brainwashed. But no. Krishna consciousness means to take your mind out of the control of cult leaders and bring the mind under your own control. That's what it actually means. Doesn't mean you let somebody else control your mind. Krishna consciousness means your mind has been controlled by others throughout your whole life. Now, here are the tools by which you can control your own mind from here on. That's what Krishna consciousness means. See, we've been controlled by the politicians, the rock stars, the novelists, the playwrights, the mundane philosophers. They've controlled our minds, our friends, our family members. They've controlled the way we think. And that situation has left us in a very perilous condition of being caught up in the cycle of birth and death. So now, Krishna consciousness means, Prabhupada has given us the techniques, the tools, the methods, the methodology, the system by which we can control our own minds. And nobody's going to mess around with us anymore. That is called yogi. One who masters the art of controlling his mind is a yogi. The others, they are called bhogis, sense enjoyers. And they are simply slaves of lust, anger, and greed. Lust, anger, and greed, L-A-G. L-A-G is a very cruel master. Dushparema, Lena, Cha. No matter how much you feed the fire of lust, it never becomes satisfied. So we are lusty. We who have not mastered our minds, we are lusty people. We are hankering for so many things: illicit sex pleasure, prestige, power, money, so many things. You see, we have not brought our mind under control. And even if we get our lusty desires fulfilled, we still won't be happy. The only way to become happy is to bring that mind under control. And then what happened? When one's mind is fixed on the superior nature in this yan, he has no alternative but to follow the dictation of the Supreme. So one then becomes perfectly dovetailed with Krishna. One that actually then fulfills the purpose of one's existence, which puts one into a state of transcendental bliss constantly. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena. Prabhupada explains that that person who achieves Krishna Prema, he sees Sadaiva, he sees Krishna constantly, both within and without. Can you imagine if you could see Krishna at every minute, both within your heart and, with, and everywhere externally? Bahir Nasingo Hridaye Nasingo. Within the Shingo and externally the Shingo. So you can take my word for it. It's not my word, it's the word of our acharyas, I'm simply repeating. This art of learning how to conquer the mind is the most valuable thing you can ever do. Most valuable thing, how to control the mind. People are unnecessarily suffering. So much anxiety because they haven't learned how to conquer their mind. That's all. So, those persons who are serious to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, they should very seriously become masters of their own mind. And then teach this art to others. Because anyone who can learn this art of mastering their mind, Rupa Goswami says, those persons become empowered to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So this art, we need devotees in our movement to learn this art, how to conquer the mind, very, very expertly conquer the mind. This is vital, vitally needed now in our society. We need a strong core membership within ISKCON of devotees, men and women, who have mastered this art of controlling their minds. So that we can, you know, become the preeminent spiritual leaders on this planet that we are meant to be, that Prabhupada wants us to be. For the deliverance of the human society. So we will taste the sweetest nectar, and we can give the sweetest nectar to all others. In this way, we fulfill our actual purpose as members of ISKCON. And we want us to take birth again in this rotten, miserable place. So, I can ask now there's some questions. If there are no questions, then I'm going to ask. I have a question for you, but there is a question, okay. Can we turn these fans off now? So I can hear the drowning out the questions. So we'll just wait here. Maybe go ahead and try again. Maybe I can hear.
Is there a possibility that we always say that what if our minds were exposed on the television or on the computer or something? Is there a possibility that thing can happen?
Actually, it's already happening. The demigods can see it. Yeah. There are higher authorities who can see everything that's going on in your mind. It's already happened. It's unlikely to develop it. The scientists probably will never develop that technology, no. But it's already happening. And the higher authorities in the universe can see everything that's going on in your mind right now. You can't hide anything from the higher authorities in the universe.
Huh?
Oh, there are some people who have psychic powers who can read other people's minds.
Maybe they can have some powers. Psychologists have some power to know something.
Yeah, some power. But to see absolutely every thought that's going through someone's mind, they don't have the technology to do that. Modern day scientists. But you have the ability to see what's going on in your mind. You see? So take advantage of that ability. Be introspective and see, is this thought Krishna conscious? Is this thought pleasing to Srila Prabhupada? Is this thought pleasing to my Guru Maharaj or not? You see? You can make your minds pleasing to Guru and Krishna. All your thoughts. Then the words and actions will automatically follow suit. So therefore one should be very, very careful how one is thinking. Don't allow your mind just to go down, go on a little mental escapade. Don't let your mind run wild. That's the real point. Never let your mind run wild. Always keep it under control. Always. You may feel, this is too restrictive. I want to let my mind go on a little holiday every now and then. But believe me, it's not worth it. It's hellish. Keep your mind controlled always, yes.
Isn't mantra meditation or chanting adequate to control the mind?
Does...
Chanting.
Chanting is the prime method of bringing the mind under control. But to also to analyze the mind according to scripture is also important. If you were so fixed up that you could just absorb yourself in chanting Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, then you wouldn't need the philosophy. But we're not so advanced. So philosophy means that you have the ability to analyze everything according to the scriptures, and you can philosophically analyze what your mind is up to and understand whether it's beneficial or not for your progress. And then if you're serious about progress on spiritual life, you can say, okay, mind, why does Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur say that you should beat your mind 100 times in the morning with shoes? 100 times in the evening with broomstick. Why does poet Govindadas write a whole song to his mind? Bajahu Raimana Shri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Chadanada Vindure. And then Prabhupada gave a commentary in the last verse. That last verse. Shavana Kirtana Smanana Vandana. That verse. Prabhupada explains in his purport that the mind may object. They go, Govindadas, you're taking away all my pleasures. What will I do now? You've taken everything. You've taken away this enjoyment, that pleasure, this thing, that thing. You've taken it all away. What will I do? Govindadas says, no problem. You can hear about Krishna. You can chant Krishna. You can remember Krishna, etc., etc., etc. You see. So chanting, yes. If you're so advanced that you can absorb yourself in chanting 24 hours a day, then that's all you need to do. Your mind is already conquered if you can do that. But if you're not so advanced, maybe you're a householder and you have to earn a living. You have to deal. Your mind has to deal with so many things. So it has to be done in a Krishna conscious way. You see. So that, therefore, a philosophical perspective is required. One has to deal with some of these sense objects for earning a livelihood, isn't it? So one has to see, am I doing this in a sober way, which is in accordance with the acharyas? You see? So one has to be a psychoanalyst, your own psychoanalyst. Yes, it depends on the quality. If one can chant 16 rounds with great intensity, that will put you in the proper state of mind, and if you can, you know, that will put you in the proper state of mind. If you're chanting Hare Krishna 16 rounds and you're strictly doing your very best to avoid the offenses, that will keep you in the proper state of mind. But note the offenses, what they are. If your mind becomes materially attached throughout the course of the day, then you're committing nam aparad. You see? So the 10 offenses, if followed strictly, will make you a perfect control of your mind. Perfect controller. You strictly avoid all the 10 nam aparads. And the 11th one also, no, not to be inattentive. If you will avoid these offenses, then you will be a perfect yogi. Your mind will be in a perfect control. Yes. Chanting is not enough. Offenseless chanting has to be done. See? Questions more? Yes.
Amrish Maharaj has given some ideas to control mind is to engage the senses in Lord service.
Which Maharaj?
Amrish Maharaj.
Ambarish, in the scriptures. Oh, okay. Yeah, the king, okay. He gives a whole list.
Yeah,
how to control the mind.
If you engage your senses in the service of the Lord, then you control the mind.
When?
Engage your senses in the service of the Lord. On page 153, purport Prabhupada gives.
Yeah, so that's very good.
Page 153.
What chapter?
Page 153.
Oh, page 153. Okay.
Savai Mani Krishna Pada. I'm sure it's the right page. Savai Mani Krishna Pada.
See if that's the right page. Any other questions while he's looking that up? Comments, realizations, objections, corrections?
How can we avoid, while chanting, how can we avoid and think of the 10 offenses that we are avoiding or not?
How can you know if you're avoiding them or not? And how can you think of them? Well, if you memorize them, it will help.
Yeah, so while chanting, I can think about those 10 offenses. So
Should
I need to think about
them? Yeah, you should think about them. You should be aware of whether you're committing the offenses or not. Of course. You have to be aware of them while you're chanting. If you're completely oblivious to whether you're committing na-aparad or not while you're chanting your rounds, you're not doing a very good job of chanting your rounds. You have to see, am I focused or not? Am I paying attention to the name or am I not paying attention to the name? You have to do that. Otherwise, you may not be even paying attention to the name. You may be thinking of something else, and the name is going off there on another channel somewhere, on the lips, you know, the name is going on. But your mind is over here, and the lips are over here. Is it? One has to be, one should be conscious. Am I paying attention to the name or not? It's important that you do that. So, yeah, page 150. King Ambarish fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, engaged his words in describing the abode of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the temple of the Lord, his ears in hearing the pastimes of the Lord, his eyes in seeing the form of the Lord, his body in touching the body of the devotee, his nostrils in smelling the flavor of the flowers offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, his tongue in tasting the tulsi leaves offered to him, capital him, meaning the Lord, his legs in traveling to the holy place where his temple is situated, again, a tap, capital H, referring to the Lord, his head in offering obeisances unto the Lord, and his desires in fulfilling the desires of the Lord, and all these qualifications made him fit to become a Matpada, devotee of the Lord. So that's also there. In fact, sometimes people say, well, I just want to think about Krishna. I don't want to chant. I will just sit and meditate and think about Hare Krishna mantra in my mind. Can I do that? They many times say, I'd rather just do it silently because, you know, my throat gets tired and I just like to. But the fact is that our mind requires that we engage our senses. The more we can engage all of our senses, as Maharaj Ambarish is doing here, you see his words talking about Krishna, his ears hearing, his eyes seeing the form, his nose smelling the flowers, the flavor of the flowers. So the more we engage all of our senses, that's why japa engages the sense of touch also, you see. I don't know if you've seen Prabhupada on these. You can see if you watch sometimes in the film, Prabhupada, and Vishnu Jamaraj first told me about this. On Hare Krishna, Prabhupada would twirl the bead like this, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. And Rama would hold it still. He would chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, like that. You go like this, and like the alternating between this and holding still. That's a little technique you can try to enhance your japa. Try twirling on Krishna and holding it still on Ram. Something that Prabhupada did while he chanted. So these things, engaging our senses, in the way of the acharyas have engaged our senses, that will actually help us to bring our minds under control. So the other senses are important. All these, the mind is the first thing mentioned, but then there's a whole long list. And all these other, you see, the mind is where the real problem is, to be honest. The mind is where the real problem is. Because these other senses come and go. They come and go with the changing of bodies. But your mind is what you're stuck with, the same damn mind, birth after birth, is keeping you locked in to karma chakra, birth after birth. So the mind is the problem. The mind is the real problem. That mind has to be brought under control, very strictly. So by engaging the external senses of the material body in Krishna's service, that helps the mind to become cornered and trapped. The tongue is vibrating, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. The ear is hearing. The nose is smelling the flowers offered the Lord. The eyes are seeing the picture of the deity of the Lord. In this way, the mind has nowhere to go. Becomes completely captured. So this is the science called Bhakti Yoga. This process works. Because when we fall in love with the object of our meditation, then our mind can't do anything except think of Krishna 24 hours daily. That's why this is the topmost yoga system. The yogis, you see, right now in this part of the Bhagavad Gita we're studying, chapter 6, Bhakti Yoga is mentioned at the very end. So what's being talked about here can apply to all the different types of yogis. But at the very end, the insider secret is giving that if you want to easily control your mind, if you want to easily stay awake when there's a lecture going on, you see, then you simply have to love Krishna. And if you love someone, then you're very eager to hear about them. Oh, more, I want to hear more. I want to hear more, more, more. Now I can realize Krishna. So the problem is we don't have spontaneous love right now. We're just struggling, beating our mind right now. And that's all right. I mean, what can you do? We're on that level, sadhana bhakti. Right now, we're still on a level of beating our mind. You know, we're nodding out. We're just trying to stay awake. And, you know, it's still a level we're on. So that we have to be a little compassionate with each other and realize we're all on a very low, unified platform. And, you know, but we have to understand what the goal is also and be excited about what's awaiting us if we stick to this pathway. Otherwise, how will we have the enthusiasm to go on? You see, am I a paid worker that will inspire me to keep doing this? Someone's paying me a salary for chanting Hare Krishna? No. I'm doing this because I know what I will achieve. Premanjana chadita bhakti valochane na sandaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti. You see, I know that I will be able to see Shyam Sundar within everything and without everything. Within and without, everywhere, Shyam Sundar will be seen. That nectar I sometimes taste when I'm doing Govardhan Parikrama. See, I can feel that nectar everywhere, wherever I go. You see? If I stick with this process on a daily basis, you know. So this process is very effective and it works. Anyway, we're very happy that you all have come tonight. You're the dedicated ones who have come to hear. Does anyone else have some questions? Yes. Yeah.
This one comment Gurudev has to make about his mind. Gurudev said, the desires in the mind are just like negatives. You feel negatives? The desires
negatives.
In the mind.
Well, film negatives.
Of a negative.
The desires in the mind, it's lifetime. Life after life, desires are still there in negative forms. So the negative is developed in the dark room. If you take the negative in the light, it will be spoiled. You got me? A negative you have to develop, you take in the dark room. But if you take the negative under the light, it will be spoiled. So Gurudev says, the sadhu sangha is just like light. When you are a sadhu sangha, all the negative desires will be spoiled if you are in the sadhu sangha in the light. That's an example of Gurudev.
Yeah, that's a nice thing. He used to do that when he had a job and he first moved in. He did the developing, carried the film. Maybe that's where he got the example from. He used to do that when he first moved into the temple. All the brahmacharis are working jobs to support the temple. He was working for a photograph company. Very hellish job.
So he used that example.
But he had a wonderful lunch break where he'd go to the park and have a little kirtan and take prasadam. It didn't last long. Then he wanted to make sure he got out of that job, and that's why he became very fired up about the sankirtan activity. So he wouldn't have to work that horrible job anymore. He was very effective at doing that. Krishna blessed him. Did the greatest service actually for our movement. He pioneered so many things. Prabhupada was so pleased with Tamal Krishna Goswami. We're all very indebted to him. All over the whole ISKCON world, the things he pioneered on behalf of Prabhupada. Very indebted to him. We look forward to seeing him again soon. So, any other questions, comments, realizations, corrections, objections, new directions?
Problem is that we don't keep it. We come into the light,
and
we still keep it.
Yeah, we come into the light, but then we try to keep something over the negative to keep it.
That's a
problem.
We're so attached to our anarthas. We don't open our hearts up to the sadhus. We come to the sadhus with our own political agenda. Instead of wanting to come to the sadhu to get purified, how can I manipulate this sadhu so I can squeeze money out of ISKCON for my sense gratification? Yeah. A little more subtle now. Yeah, we have to really we have to understand that we're just, you know, we're just hurting ourselves by holding on to our inertias. We're not helping anyone. We're just hurting ourselves by holding on to our material desires. The best thing to do is just pray to Krishna, please Krishna, help me get over all these material desires and have one desire only, and that is to please you at every minute with every thought, word and deed.
Get over the material desires, one should meditate on the lotus feet, because Krishna's lotus feet are like thunderbolt, and thunderbolt can smash all the material desires. So when we have darshan of the Lord, then we should focus our mind mostly on the lotus feet for a long period of time.
Yeah. That's right.
And that thunderbolt can
That's right. Lotus feet of the Lord, yeah.
Also on Bhagavad Gita 6.5.4, Prabhupada gives a nice verse. 6.5.4. Maneva manushna karan bandhana.
What is that verse?
Maneva manushnam.
Yeah, mana eva manushanam. For man, mind is the cause of bondage, and mind is the cause of liberation. Yeah. From the Amrita Bindu Upanishad. The mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage, and the mind absorbed in detached from sense objects is the cause of liberation. Yeah, we really have to, you know, become experts of this. The yoga of the mind is a very important yoga to become expert in. Anything else? If not, that's it. Thank you very much for your wonderful participation in tonight's program. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Iskand Suva Devotees Ki Jai.